Hello, and welcome to another edition of the show that I, your host, David Woodruff, affectionately call the Woodruff Report. It is a rainy Friday afternoon, but I am hoping that I can brighten your day, lift the clouds away with this edition of Woodruff Report. So what are we going to talk about today? Well, the most glaring topic is our new men's college basketball champions, University of North Carolina Tar Heels. Give it up for them. Woo! Congrats to Roy Williams and company on capturing the title after a foul-infested championship game. We'll bring you that and more from opening day. Yes, it finally came. The Giants were in Arizona to start their season, and let's just say that it did not go so well in their four-game series versus Arizona. We've got that and that. We've got basketball and baseball coming at you. You're going to enjoy this episode. I certainly will enjoy putting it out there for you. Let's get going in 3, 2, 1. Your new NCAA men's basketball champions are the North Carolina Tar Heels after they bested Gonzaga 71-65 in University of Phoenix Stadium in wonderful Phoenix, Arizona. So, what happened in this game? Who were our MVPs? Who led the way? Who stunk it up? We've got all that coming at you in this segment. So let's start with the losing team, the Gonzaga Bulldogs. And they actually did some things that when we talked about last week on Woodruff Report, their keys to the game, they actually succeeded in one glaring key to the game, which was that they actually out-rebounded North Carolina, which was a big key coming into the game. How was Gonzaga going to cope with the UNC offensive rebounding, which was best in the nation? And they handled it very well. They out-rebounded UNC, which not many people thought would happen going into the game. But a lot of the trouble came on the offensive end. Big man Karnowski was just not on point this game, missing a lot of really layups in close proximity to the hoop. He just could not finish on this day. And you know what? Sometimes you're going to have a clunker like that. And it was hard to watch for him. He would post up, back down, get very close to the hoop in the key, do what he's been doing all season, spin and hit him with that wonderful left-hand hook, and it just wouldn't fall for him. It'd clang off glass, it hit rim, it would be halfway down and out. He missed some shots early, and he just never got going. You always expected him to make one and then get a little hot. And Gonzaga had a lot of opportunities in this game, but starting with Karnowski, they were just not good enough on the offensive end of the floor. Karnowski finished with only 9 points. Nigel Williams-Goss, one of the keys going into this game, he had to have a big night. He had to be the outstanding point guard who just commanded the floor. He finished with 15, so decent, but in a game where Karnowski was missing, Goss really had to step up his game. If Gonzaga was going to win this game, he was going to need to be in that 30 to 40 point range, and he wasn't able to elevate his game to that level. And we talked a little bit about which team's role players would come up biggest in this game. Gonzaga certainly didn't. Perkins led Gonzaga's role players with 13 points. And I'm looking at the stats here, and Gonzaga actually didn't have a horrible night shooting from 3, 8 for 19. That's good for 40%+. But North Carolina's defense was smothering for the Zags. I mean, forced into 14 total turnovers, and that doesn't really tell the whole story. Gonzaga was shooting a lot of very iffy shots, bad possessions where they were having to shoot a contested jumper late in the shot clock. The offense just did not look smooth for Gonzaga when Karnowski couldn't finish down low. And it's kind of sad to see such a good team like Gonzaga, one loss for the season coming in, and just what many consider their worst game of the season when it mattered most. But let's not take credit away from the Tar Heels, because they played a great game. Although shooting an abysmal sub 15% from the three-point line and a clunker from Josh Jackson. Joel Berry led the Tar Heels with 22 points, and like we predicted before on our previous episode, the role players showed up. Theo Pinson had a good night, and Isaiah Hicks had what he was kind of a big-name guy coming into this season, struggled down the stretch, but he made some baskets when it counted, especially on one of UNC's final possessions where he made a contested layup to put the game out of reach. So what are some key stats from this game? And one major storyline was the officiating, because there were a lot of fouls called, 22 on each team, so 44 combined fouls. And a lot of NBA players were tweeting in, Dwayne Wade, LeBron James, let the kids play. This is ridiculous, all this refereeing over officiating. And I would agree with that. There were a lot of whistles, but I mean, it is college basketball for you. A lot better defense, a lot more physical. The game is more condensed. There's not as much space to operate as there is on an NBA court. So, I mean, it's not going to be as free-flowing and fun to watch. And I think some people who are watching NBA basketball and then are like, oh, the NCAA final is on, I'll turn to that. They're like, what is this? There's no Warriors-style passing, driving, cutting, assisting. I mean, that is what many people were talking about. I mean, like, what is this? This is horrible basketball. But no, this is not horrible basketball. It's just a completely different style when the court is more condensed, when players are putting everything they have on the defensive side of the ball, when not everyone is in there for shooting, when a lot of people are there primarily for their defense and smothering. It's going to be a lot more physical, a lot more contested, and there are going to be a lot more fouls. So I understand where a lot of these people are coming from with their over-officiating claims, but I think that they're comparing NCAA basketball with NBA basketball when they're two completely different games and they're the same sport, but they're played at completely different levels. So you cannot compare the two. Other eye-catching stats from this game. One, Gonzaga had their worst. If you haven't gotten this yet from this segment, Gonzaga had their worst shooting night of the year. And Karnowski, Nigel Williams-Goss in particular, did not shoot the ball. Williams-Goss, Karnowski, and Jordan Matthews, the team's three leading scorers, combined only to make 8 baskets. So you know you're going to have a clunker when your three leading scorers only make 8 baskets between them. And that's what unfortunately happened to Gonzaga, who did well keeping this game close. I mean, when your three best players are shooting that poorly, it tends to lead to a rout, but they were able to keep the game close, get it into its final few minutes where UNC eventually took over. So I'll leave you with one final stat. Kennedy Meeks, the outstanding center for the Tar Heels, finished the tournament with the 5th most rebounds ever with 69 total boards. This is North Carolina's 6th championship, so they were already considered a legit program, but it can be debated that this is one of the best in the nation. UCLA, Kentucky, Duke, UNC, all outstanding programs, and UNC adding another title to the trophy case. Congratulations, Tar Heels. Job well done. Congratulations to Josh Jackson, Kennedy Meeks, Isaiah Hicks, all the seniors on the team, Coach Roy Williams for a great season. They had to go through that meat grinder, which is the ACC, and that really prepared them well for all the games that just fly at you faster than you can blink in the NCAA tournament. Congratulations also to the Zags on an incredible season, 1 loss. Mark Few has turned this program into one of the most legitimate in the nation. Great coach, great recruiter, and with this appearance in the championship game, it's going to be even easier to land big-name recruits, and so don't sleep on them Zags. They're building something special out on the West Coast, Best Coast. But it's time to move on from NCAA basketball and talk a little opening day, because the Giants did not start well in the desert of Arizona, going 1-3 in their 4-game series against a team many consider to be towards the bottom of the division in the Arizona Diamondbacks. So opening day, Bumgarner was outstanding. I mean, you probably have heard this by now, but two home runs, first Giants pitcher ever to hit two home runs on opening day, and pitched a solid game, but, guess what happened? And if you watched the Giants at any point last year, you're probably going to be saying the words with me. Bullpen blew the game. Yes, Melanson, the new closer who is going to fix everything, blows his first save with the Giants, and more of the same for Giants fans. Great starting pitching, hitting is good enough, and bullpen just stinks it up completely. And this is kind of like PTSD. When I was watching it, I was like, no, not another season. This can't be happening. I don't want this young core, aging core, Buster, Belt, Hunter. These guys can't endure another year where the bullpen is just going to struggle so much that this team can't be competitive. But they came out the next day and scored 8 solid runs behind Cueto's decent performance, getting a W. So, okay, we've split the series so far. We have more pitching depth than Arizona. Let's go out and maybe take 3 of 4 or at least split the series. Splitting the opening series in an opponent's home field with that loud opening day crowd that always shows up, that's okay. But no, 2 straight losses behind shaky starts from Samardzija and Moore. And this team is, I don't want to jump to any early conclusions, but I definitely don't like what I'm seeing. I mean, this whole left field situation is very weird. We've got Gorkys Hernandez, we've got Jarrett Parker. We don't know who we're settling on. I feel like people aren't getting enough time, but Bochy doesn't know whether to leave him in or to give him time and let him develop. It's all very confusing, and the pitching, which was supposed to be a strength going into the season, does not look so great. And this offense isn't a Red Sox, a Dodgers, a Cubs kind of offense, a even Colorado Rockies type of offense. It can't put up like 10 runs a game. So the pitching needs to be very good. And I'm probably just your average Giants journalist covering guy freaking out about a bad series, but Diamondbacks are a very beatable team. They've got some great players such as AJ Pollock and Paul Goldschmidt, but not much pitching depth. And when you cannot beat a bad division foe, it does not bode well for the rest of the season. So we'll try to get things back on track. But I did want to check in with you guys because I'm nervous about this team. I mean, we're pretty thin, especially in the outfield. If we can't afford an outfield injury, and I'm just nervous. I mean, I wanted some good results from this opening 4-game trip to Chase Field. The Diamondbacks were surprisingly good. The bullpen is decent. The starting pitching is okay, and the order can mash. I mean, Goldschmidt, Pollock, as I talked about before, they've got people who can hit. Jake Lamb, good balance of righties and lefties. They've got Greinke, who could be an ace if he bounces back from last season. So maybe the Giants aren't struggling, but the Diamondbacks are just an under-the-radar team that is better than everybody thinks. But the whole point of this segment was to tell you guys that I'm sort of freaking out about this Giants team. I'm probably overreacting, but nonetheless, I need them to pick up and be good early so I can breathe again. And please, no more blown saves or bad outings from the bullpen. Those shorten my lifespan by like 6 months each whenever there's a blown save. So we need to get that under control. Melanson, get your act together, man. I'm rooting for you, but we can't afford games to slip away. We're not good enough, especially with one of the best teams in baseball in LA in our same division. When we have leads in the 7th, 8th inning, those games have to go directly into the win column. Or Winning this division is stretch already, so I'm banking on wild card berth, and every win counts. So let's get that under control, Giants. Let's do this. Let's go win a World Series. It starts now. Let's just make the playoffs. So this has been the Woodruff Report, brought to you by your host, David Woodruff. We talked about the Tar Heels' victory in the NCAA Men's Basketball Championship. We also talked to you about the first Giants road trip, their first four games in the desert, and what they're looking like. Be sure to check in next week. We'll bring you more in the best sports-related content. Thank you for listening. I hope you'll join me next week. This has been the Woodruff Report. I'm your host, David Woodruff. I hope to see you next time.